And the court will proceed to the second case of the day. There it is, sir. Barnes versus Anyanwu. Mr. Saunders.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The lower court improperly applied the impact rule to Mr. Barnes' negligent infliction of emotional distress claim. And it is for that reason that this court should reverse the lower court's grant of summary judgment to appellee Dr. Javita Anyanwu. Requesting that this court reverse the lower court, we ask only that this court recognize that nearly 20 years ago, the Illinois Supreme Court adopted a rule of law by which direct victims of negligence need not satisfy the impact rule in order to bring claims of negligent infliction of emotional distress, at least in cases of medical negligence. Now, in the alternative, if this court believes that the applicability of the impact rule is uncertain, we respectfully request that this court certify the question we bring to it to the Illinois Supreme Court.
Now, nearly. Saunders, what do you make of the last two decades of handling of this issue by the intermediate appellate court of courts of Illinois?
Well, Your Honor, as our brief demonstrates, the interpretation of the key case, the key Illinois Supreme case here, Corgan v. Mueller, is mixed. I believe in our case we cited eight courts from both the Northern District of Illinois and from the intermediary Illinois courts, state of Illinois courts, that have allowed claims of negligent infliction of emotional distress to proceed without need to satisfy the impact rule, and I believe we cited five cases that have come out the other way. So the answer, Your Honor, is the jurisprudence is very much mixed. And in fact, it is for this reason that we believe certification to the Illinois Supreme Court of this question of Illinois law is particularly appropriate in this matter. In fact, the question presented to this court satisfies each of the factors that this court has stated it would consider when looking at certification. That is, the question presented to this court is one of vital public concern. That is, the liability of doctors for the negligent acts, which is important not only to doctors but to their patients and their prospective patients. The issue of the applicability of the impact rule is one that has and will continue to recur, as this court's own jurisprudence demonstrates. The resolution of the applicability of the impact rule, the parties agree, is outcome determinative to this matter. The Illinois Supreme Court has not had an opportunity to answer the question Mr. Barnes poses to this court, and therefore should be given that opportunity.
Can we expect that kind of question to arise pretty often if your theory about what Illinois stands for is correct? I mean, presumably there are, let's say, difficult interactions between patients and medical professionals all the time in cases in state courts.
Your Honor, I wish I could explain for you why it is that this is an issue that hasn't arisen more than at least the 13 times cited in our brief. But in looking at those cases, it's clear that the applicability of the impact rule is an issue, whether or not in medical negligence cases that does arise with some frequency.
Can you explain to me why the Illinois courts would or should adopt a rule that is specific to medical professionals in this context?
Well, Your Honor, as the Illinois Supreme Court in Corgan indicated, what was key to that holding was the fact that there was a psychiatrist, someone who understood
A fake psychologist.
Fake psychologist, yes, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. But a doctor is in a position of trust with their patients, which is separate from the duty that I might owe someone who I have a different type of relationship with. But, Your Honor,
as I was thinking about this, some other context came to mind. We know, would you agree, that doctors often deal with patients in emotionally sensitive and difficult times.
Yes, sir.
I'm frankly a little concerned that your position winds up making a bad bedside manner the subject of a lawsuit. Okay? And I'd be interested in your response about that. But I would also think that similar concerns would apply, let's say, to funeral directors, wedding planners, you can start to go on with a long list. I'll spare you my personal list of professionals who deal with people in emotionally sensitive times.
I believe, if I can restate some, Your Honor is concerned about the slippery slope.
Very.
And in answer to that, if this court is concerned about what the confines of the applicability of the impact rule are to negligent actors, then this is a question that it should certify to the Court of Illinois so that it can answer that question. This is a question of state law, and it is appropriate for the Illinois Supreme Court to have the opportunity to set forth clearly what the boundaries of the applicability of that rule are. So in terms of the slippery slope, if this court is concerned, it should ask the Illinois Supreme Court what the boundaries are.
Does the record reflect in these intermediate court decisions, the Illinois Appellate Court, whether petitions for leave were sought?
Your Honor, I do not know whether petitions for leave have sought. I have reviewed this court's jurisprudence, and this is the first time that the question of the applicability of the impact rule has, one, been directly challenged, and two, the request for certification has been made.
I just would be interested to see whether what their views of the different views of the intermediate court has done over the years and what we should read it. Well, if anything, into that.
Your Honor, the Supreme Court since Corrigan, the Illinois Supreme Court since Corrigan, has twice given us a glimpse into what it believes the Corrigan opinion did. And that is, first, in Pasquale versus Speed Products Engineering, the Illinois Supreme Court said, and I quote, "Corrigan, however, extended Rickey's elimination of the impact rule to instances where plaintiffs were the direct victims of the negligent conduct and suffered emotional distress." More recently, in Parks versus Kanwaki, the Illinois Supreme Court stated that, quote, "For a direct victim to state a claim of negligent infliction of emotional distress, she must allege, one, that the defendant owed plaintiff a duty, two, that defendant breached that duty, and three, that plaintiff's injury was proximately caused by that breach." No mention in either Pasquale or Parks of the need to satisfy the impact rule. In fact, the Parks decision is based on conversations. The plaintiff in the Parks case brought a negligent infliction of emotional distress claim based on a parish calling her to discuss abuse in the past. And she asserted that those telephone calls negligently inflicted her with emotional distress. Rather than deal with the impact rule, the court applied, citing to Corrigan, an ordinary negligence approach, the same approach Mr. Barnes advocates the lower court should have used here, and which is why this court should reverse the lower court. Now, Your Honors, if this court is unclear as to what the confines of the impact rule in Illinois continue to be, we respectfully request that they also certify this question. And if there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
I guess one quick question, Mr. Saunders. This abstract discussion is very interesting, this question of Illinois law. But the actual facts of this case, if I understand this correctly, you're alleging that Dr. Anyanwu, in his supervisory role, in essence just refused to approve a grievance and said go back through the process, and so that it was six months later that your client received news that he was hepatitis C positive. Is that right?
Your Honor, the chronology of events is that Mr. Barnes had been attempting to get a hepatitis C.
But in terms of Dr. Anyanwu's personal responsibility?
Dr. Anyanwu's personal responsibility, he denied the grievance, which told Mr. Barnes to start a process that had failed him once. And upon receiving notice of that denial, Mr. Barnes demonstrably had a severe case of depression, which is documented by the expert. However, the lower court never got the opportunity to even address the facts because it decided this issue of Illinois law, and that's why we're before this court.
Okay, but it sounds kind of quasi-judicial. Like, okay, he files a grievance, it's denied, he's upset about that. At the risk of being a little flip about this, I mean, judges and people acting in quasi-judicial capacities disappoint people all the time. Does that give, if we're negligent in doing that, does that give rise to a cause of action?
Again, Your Honor, that's a question for the Illinois Supreme Court. If the court is concerned about the scope, which I understand it to be, then it should ask that question to the Illinois Supreme Court because it is the one that can answer that question.
Did the delay cause any additional medical problems or delay treatment or anything like that?
Your Honor, Mr. Barnes, when he tested positive for the antibodies for hepatitis C. And what we have been informed is that in a very small percentage of individuals beat hepatitis. They can essentially defeat the disease, and that seems to be the case with Mr. Barnes. So there was no demonstrable harm necessarily to the delay in testing, other than the emotional distress, which is documented in Mr. Barnes' medical records, and which we've presented an expert testimony.
But this is not a situation where we've got a medical doctor and his own patient, though, is it?
Well, Your Honor, Dr. Inyawu was the I see my time's.
Please answer the question.
Dr. Inyawu was in a role in which he was required to consider Mr. Barnes' medical grievance and looked at Mr. Barnes' medical records, the medical records which clearly included notes regarding Mr. Barnes' mental well-being, and made a decision based on the record that he had before him, which was that Mr. Barnes had tried to follow the administrative procedures in the prison, that they had failed him, that he wasn't able to receive a test, and as a result, Dr. Inyawu told him to restart a procedure that had already failed him, and that was, in fact, the source of the problem. However, Your Honor, these factual questions were not even reached by the lower court, and therefore, if this court is concerned with the factual record, we would recommend remand to the lower court so that it could consider those factual questions in turn. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Saunders. Mr. Schroeder.
Good morning, Your Honors. Plaintiff has asked you to do, or Mr. Barnes has asked you to do two things here today. One is to, he invites the court to decide in this case that the impact rule, the Illinois state impact rule, no longer applies to the facts of this case. And if you don't do that, then he asks you to certify the question to the Illinois Supreme Court for their decision on that specific issue. I think we need to start with the proposition in this case that the Corrigan Court did not rule or find that the impact rule did not apply to that specific case. The Corrigan Court did not address the impact rule per se. The Corrigan Court was the psychologist or the unlicensed psychologist who undertook the care and treatment of an individual. He held himself out as a psychologist. She came in and in the course of his treatment entered into sexual relationships with her. The Corrigan Court found that the acts themselves were negligent and did not address the impact rule, in part because, in my reading of the Corrigan case, there was a statute involved regarding psychologists that was violated. They did not address whether or not there was a physical injury necessary or physical manifestations. The Seventh Circuit has since addressed those issues on several occasions. The Seventh Circuit has found repeatedly that Corrigan did not overturn the impact rule. I think one of the cases that probably states it succinctly is the Choi case, which has been cited, actually, I believe, by both parties, where the court states Corrigan did not overturn the impact rule. Direct victims must still experience some form of physical danger or harm as the catalyst for the resulting emotional trauma. That has not been pled in this case, nor are there any facts that there has been a physical impact to Mr. Barnes. As it was just alluded to a moment ago, Dr. Anyanwu did not see or treat Mr. Barnes in the traditional sense. He was an acting medical director at the time. The record, I believe, revealed that he was on site for 2 days doing administrative duties. Part of that administrative duty was to review, in this case, a grievance filed by Mr. Barnes. Mr. Saunders stated a moment ago that Dr. Inyanwu denied that grievance I believe that the record will reflect, and I don't have the page number, that's not accurate. The physician does not approve or deny a grievance. He makes his recommendation. It goes back, in this case, to the board at the Department of Corrections at Stateville Correctional Center, who then either denies it or affirms it. So Dr. Nyanwu, in reviewing the medical record according to his testimony, states that he did not see any evidence of prior attempts at the grievance system that was in place, and therefore recommended that Mr. Barnes comply with the process that was in place at that time. That is his sole involvement in this particular instance. The cases of the Seventh Circuit, as I indicated, make a distinction between physical manifestation as well as a physical injury for the impact rule, and physical manifestations don't necessarily always have to be present, but there always has to be the physical injury or the initial impact, as they state, as the catalyst. That just is not present in this particular case. Corrigan has never overruled that particular impact, nor the two cases just mentioned a moment ago, Parks and Pasquale. In the Parks case, the holding of the court in that case never made it to the impact rule. It was never decided. That was dismissed on the issue of a duty that in the allegation for negligent infliction of emotional distress by the plaintiff in that case was directed at the diocese, not the priest, not the church, but the diocese. In that case, in the Parks case, the court found that the diocese did not owe a duty to assess the emotional and psychological impact before calling this particular plaintiff to perform their investigation into the priest. They never reached the impact rule. Pasquale, which was also mentioned a moment ago, was a case that was brought under the theory of strict liability, not negligence. In that case, the court found that the application of negligent infliction of emotional distress, or the impact rule under that theory, did not go as far or go to a strict liability case. It was not decided on the negligence issue that is before this court.
Well, in this case, he's claimed to be a direct victim, as I understand.
Mr. Barnes?
Yeah.
He has to be.
Okay, how?
That's a good question, Your Honor.
Well, I guess it is. Maybe it isn't, but I don't understand it. Maybe you can explain it. I didn't want to interrupt before, but from your point of view, what is this?
I don't think that, quite frankly, that he's either, but in accordance with the negligent infliction of emotional distress, he would have to be a direct victim. He cannot be a bystander because there's no one else involved in this particular incident other than he and, as alleged, Dr. Nyanwu.
What is it, the denial of the test, or what?
That is...
What's a direct victim of what act?
Well, I think it's the denial of the test, at least according to what is pled in the complaint. That act is the act that a few months down the road is alleged to have caused his emotional distress.
Is it the emotional distress of the discovery of the hepatitis C? Or not knowing, or what?
I don't believe it's the not knowing, Your Honor, because he, as indicated in the record, he had been seeking a test for not just that period of time, but for a period of time of a couple of years, it indicates, before my client even came on the scene. There's no allegation that he suffered any emotional distress not knowing in that time period. I don't believe there's an allegation that he suffered not knowing in the time period after the denial. I believe that the allegation is that the event occurred when he was informed of the denial. I think that was in February of 03, from November or December 02, review of the record. Lastly, I guess I would point out that or the second issue that the plaintiff seeks is certification to the state of Illinois. I don't believe that this is a proper case to the certification to the state of Illinois. Illinois has had several cases in which they could have addressed this issue. They have not directly addressed this issue in terms of the specifics that the plaintiff in this case is asserting should be addressed, and that's negligence by a medical professional within the confines of the Corrigan case.
Could this have been filed? I guess the deliberate indifference claim is settled. Is that right?
That was actually
whatever it was.
Non-contested on the summary judgment stage.
All right. So the amended complaints where this comes in, it's strictly a state claim, isn't it?
The second amended complaint alleged both the deliberate indifference and added the state pendant claim. In the process of the motion for summary judgment after the pleadings were filed, the plaintiff did not contest the deliberate indifference and chose to continue on. And I guess that's part of the point that was made in the briefs, too, is the plaintiff chose this form initially, asked that the court retain jurisdiction during these arguments, and now is asking that the case be sent to Illinois. I believe that the case law in this particular circuit says once you get to this particular point, to then send it to the state court for, or certify it to be sent to the state court does not conform to judicial economy. It prolongs the litigation and expense to everyone. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Schroeder. Saunders, your time has expired, but you may have 1 minute.
Your Honor, just two very quick points. First, to the extent that this panel has questions about the factual record here, the district court never reached the factual record, and therefore any questions about that record should be sent back to the district court for consideration. However, to address the bench's questions, Mr. Barnes does allege that he was a direct victim of the act of the denial of the grievance, and we believe the record will show that Dr. Nyawu did, in fact, deny the grievance. And when Mr. Barnes received word of that denial, was first told, that's when he suffered his emotional distress, and our expert testimony demonstrates as such. Second, Your Honors, to the point about the Park versus Kanwonki case, this court and the lower court have treated the impact rule as a prerequisite to pleading claims of negligent infliction of emotional distress. If that prerequisite continued to survive in Parks, the court never would have reached the question of duty. It would have simply dismissed that case on the impact rule. Therefore, for these reasons, Your Honors, Mr. Barnes respectfully requests that this court either reverse the lower court or certify his question to the Illinois Supreme Court. Thank you.
Judge Hamilton has.
Yeah, if I could just ask you to follow up on some of the earlier discussion there. What exactly is the source of the duty that you're alleging here in under state law in this rather unusual relationship between the inmate and the acting medical director who's reviewing his records?
Your Honor, as the acting medical director, when Dr. Nyawu received Mr. Barnes' grievance, he had a duty to consider it, evaluate the facts, and treat it as he would a patient coming to a doctor with a dilemma, a problem, an illness, or sickness.
Does a warden have a similar obligation under Illinois state law to be non-negligent in resolving a grievance, for example, about food quality or cleanliness in a prison?
Your Honor, I'm not aware of what the warden's duties of negligence are, but again, the confines of the applicability of the impact rule and the scope of duty is a question better suited for the Illinois Supreme Court, which is why Mr. Barnes has requested certification.
Now, you're optimistic they would accept?
Your Honor, we are, because given the amount of confusion, not only in this district, but in the intermediary appellate courts of Illinois.
Thank you, Saunders. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the third case of the day.